Back here on the game, you hear that music. That means it's about time to talk with voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. Get to the poll results of the Twitter poll question about where you assess the blame for the loss last night. A little bit later on, some people going outside the poll at J.L. Kurtz and the game KMAN and getting creative with who they're placing some of the blame on. One person, the Blue Leopard, that is, on Twitter says, Russia. I suppose in this day and age, trust no one. I can understand how that happens. Also, some putting it on me. And I'll take the L in that regard because that's two straight Tuesdays now. I've gone to do the Manhattan High game, and by the time I get back, I literally see the last minute of the game, and it's the end of the Kansas game, and now here the end of the Texas Tech game. So it felt like deja vu to me, too, trust me, with how things went down at the end of that game last night. But it is time now to switch gears and talk Chiefs football with the voice of the Chiefs.
Sidestepping into the pocket is Alex Smith with time. Fires for the end zone. Caught it. He's got it on a post pattern. Touchdown, Kansas City. Car to throw. Floats a pass. It's going to be intercepted by Peters in the left flat. The Oakland native still on his feet. Down to the 20 and all the way down to the Raider 15-yard line. Kansas City has beaten the Houston Texans 30-0 in the wild card weekend and are advancing in the AFC playoffs.
Time to talk Chiefs football with the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus.
Voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus with me here on the show with the playoffs right around the corner. Perfect timing here. You got a home playoff game at Arrowhead coming off a bye against the Steelers. How jacked are you for this one, Mitch?
Well, how about kerosene shampoo? How about that? Think that'll work? Yeah, the hair's on fire for this one.
Ah, okay, there we go.
Chiefs win this game, though, it's history. Because when they've won a divisional playoff game throughout their history, it's always been on the road. They've never won one in Kansas City. So if they can beat Pittsburgh Sunday and get a divisional playoff round victory here, it would be first time. So.
Well, I think a lot of people, when you saw that it was going to be Pittsburgh, with the way that things went with the Miami game last week, I immediately started having flashbacks at least to the 43-14 game back in week four and thinking of Big Ben and all the weapons that the Steelers have. How much stock can we put into what happened all the way back in week four?
Not much, because both teams are very different. Pittsburgh's improved. The Chiefs aren't even the same team. I mean, the defensive secondary is way different. Terrence Mitchell has emerged a little bit at right corner. That's allowed the safeties to get even better. Eric Berry's playing a way higher level. I mean, the Chiefs went 10-2 in the 10 games since then. They won six road games. Here's what's way overlooked nationally. The six road wins are Andrew Luck in Indianapolis, Cam Newton in Charlotte, Derek Carr in Oakland, Matty Ice Ryan in Atlanta, and Phillip Rivers in San Diego, and Denver's the other one. The Chiefs have played the toughest schedule of any of the remaining playoff teams. That's not a fact, not opinion. And then the offense with Tyreek Hill is totally different. Tyreek Hill, in it, when they played the first time, wasn't Tyreek Hill yet. And so you can't really glean much. The only thing I think you can take out of that is the fact that Pittsburgh and some of their personnel groups ran some quick offense out of a base set, but they used Bell as a slot receiver. I think you can look at that and go, ooh, they might do that again. But that game, probably both sides are pretty much mouthwashing it.
Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, with me here on the game. Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. I mean, so many weapons that they bring to the table. What aspect of that concerns you the most going into this one?
Well, just that it's the triangle. I mean, the NFL, you always talk about the great teams have the triangle, the quarterback, the receiver, and the running back, and they do. I mean, all three are playing at Hall of Fame levels. And Bell is exceptional. I mean, he finishes fifth in the league in rushing and didn't even play the first three games. That Kansas City game was the first game he played. So I think that the fact that they have all three, they've got experience in the postseason. Bell doesn't really, just the one game, but Big Ben does. But here's the, if you listen to the end of the San Diego game, because we haven't talked since then, the end of that game, I gave you these staccato notes. It was a little bit like my K-State days. When it was something of big importance, not just for that game but beyond, when I said the Chiefs have won the AFC West, they have the two seed, they'll have a bye, they'll play a home game at Arrowhead Stadium. All four of those statements are separate, although they're connected. Now, that sounds like a contradiction, but the biggest thing is, when we talk about Ben, is playing here at Arrowhead. very different at Heinz Field than he is on the road. 20 touchdowns, 5 picks at home, 9 TDs, 8 picks on the road. He's lost 4 of his last 6 playoff games. 3 of those 4 have been on the road. In those road games, just 7 touchdowns, 7 picks. He does not like Arrowhead. The 2 games he's played here, he's not had good games. He won 1 against a poor Chiefs team in 11, and a poor Chiefs team in 09 beat him here. He threw a pick in the red zone that Studebaker returned for like 80 yards. So he does, it's better coming here than playing him in Heinz Field.
What about Justin Houston and his health? Obviously, that would make you feel a lot better if he's close to 100% ready to go. How much of Justin Houston do you think the Chiefs are going to get in this game?
Well, it needs to be monitored, continue throughout the week. He practiced today. Now, it was all hands on deck. That's the best news I can give you for the Chiefs Kingdom and in the Little Apple and beyond that listen to you guys, that he was out there today. And Andy Reid said, full go, let him rip. So we'll see how he responds now, how he is tomorrow, how he is with treatments tonight, and then if he can go Thursday, Friday and stay in there. Now, the other thing is, you don't necessarily have to play him 70 defensive snaps. You got a rotation here. You keep Tomba fresh because you don't have to play him 50. If you split up Tomba snaps with Houston's and even rotate in D Ford, you've got a 3-person for 2 rotation where nobody has to be taxed beyond what they can do or physically are capable to do at this point.
Talking with Mitch Holtis here on the game. During the regular season, we always talk after a bye week for the Chiefs about Andy Reid's record coming off of a bye and how much of an advantage that is. Does the same principle apply here, even though they didn't necessarily know who they were going to be playing during that first off week?
Did you ever kind of cheat ahead maybe on the homework thinking, I got a feeling it's going to be on this chapter?
Yes, when I was doing my homework.
Yeah, exactly. Me too, because you gotta, I got to look for every advantage. That's kind of the way Big Red has been with this game. I think that he looked ahead and was not to disrespect Miami, but I think he was working ahead a little bit on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I do think it is an issue for Pittsburgh in the fact that Big Red is treating this like a regular season bye week where he's 16-2, as you alluded to. That's why getting the home game in, see again, here goes the staccato notes. Chiefs have won the AFC West. That was important for that day and beyond. They have a 2 seed. That was important for that day and beyond. They have a bye. They needed the bye. And they'll host the game at Arrowhead. All 4 little phrases are connected, but they also have a separate meaning for now and the future.
Well, definitely looking forward to Chiefs and Steelers coming up once again on Sunday. Before I let you go, I know you've had a chance to do a K-State game or two here this season, and we've been talking
to Texas and OU.
There we go, 2. I thought it was 2. Wasn't 100% sure there. After seeing the team and people kind of down, obviously, after the loss last night and a couple really tough road losses here, can you give us like a pep talk here about what K-State's got and your thoughts on Bruce Weber's team?
Yeah, they're way better. They're way better. Way better. And last night was disappointing. I wouldn't say discouraging, but I think now that they're at a critical point of mass for this season. Now, their first half against Oklahoma was as good as they played in a while, I mean years here, because I said it was like watching baseball infield practice. The way they were sharing the ball, they can shoot it, but they share it. They're all willing participants, and that goes a long way in this day and age of college basketball. Plus, they can also guard. That was a hard game last night. Texas Tech is good. I said after the K-State game, and it got some run on Twitter, that I said K-State's legit, and I meant it. But Texas Tech is legit. Now, people look at the end of the game and the technical on Bruce and the foul, no-call foul, but I got to be careful here. There was a whole sequence of things that happened in that game that way beyond about the last 6 to 7 game minutes that if I made the Wareham, had the theater in there and we could sit there and watch it, I would point up several kind of critical points in that game that way before the end. Now, that being said, if Stokes hits the front end of a 1-1, doesn't it put him up 4 if he hits both?
It would have put him up 6, actually, I believe.
6, all right, there you go. So guards have got to be your Royals closers. If you've got Kelvin Herrera has got to be your guards. So as Stokes grows, as Brown grows, as they all grow, particularly in that backcourt, they've got to be able to close those games. That makes, going back to the Texas game that I had, Texas makes a run on them at the end, hits the last 6 shots. What did K-State do? They were 8 of 9 at the foul line. Now, the bigs have to make them too, but the bigs have to get rebounds. So you can talk about officiating all you want. But Stokes misses the front end of a one-on-one. Then they had a rebound go off of DJ's hand. That was a correct call. The bigs have got to get every rebound. Your guards make every free throw. And you've got to close these games out. I think it's coming. I think this is an NCAA team. The Baylor game is huge. But they cannot let this carry over. They've got to bounce back and keep their swag because this team is good. They're legit.
Very well said, Mitch. Appreciate the time as always. Enjoy Chiefs Steelers. We'll be listening and hope to talk to you again soon.
See you, boys. This will be bigger than a 93 Copper Bowl, just saying.
Hey, there we go. Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs on the game. Always enjoy his time and definitely looking forward to that playoff game on Sunday. You can't be serious at 5:50. When we come back, we'll check that Twitter poll. I tell you what, the Twitter world for once actually made me pretty happy today. You're listening to the game.